let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Our guest on today's This Week in America is H. Doyle Smith. He's been active in politics since he was 16, a retired CPA with experience in corporate, medical, tax, and other accounting, real estate, governmental employment, and many other fields. His vast experience provides insight into the requirements of good government that are called revolutionary, yet based on sound biblical principles. He's the author of The Nature of Good Government, a look at the purpose of government, defining the difference between the purpose of government and religion, summarizing the mechanisms of economics as they operate in society, and providing practical changes that will enhance our ability to work together and prosper. H. Doyle Smith, author of The Nature of Good Government, is our guest on This Week in America. Doyle, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
I'm happy to be here.
This is a fascinating book and a look at the role of government in our lives. And I guess this basically, and you talk about it in the beginning of the book, this is what the result of 60 years of experience. You've really been watching and learning as you've gone through all those different aspects of your life, haven't you?
Yes, I have. When I was a young man, I had the intent to go ahead and work with government, and everything since then has been determining what works and what doesn't work in our system of government.
And you lay it out so well in the book, The Nature of Good Government. H. Doyle Smith, our guest on the program. You start off in the beginning by saying the introduction to the book, the U.S. is at a crisis. Talk about where you see us, and then we'll talk about some of the solutions, because you do offer some solutions for us.
The biggest problem we have is after 240 years of people understanding that the rule of government is to provide a way by which people can rule themselves. What we're finding is that too many people now are trying to rule other people, trying to say that you have to do what I think is right. This is the way government has been for many, many years, until we've had their founding fathers determine our country's method of government. And when they did, they gave us the opportunity to rule ourselves and use the system of government to enable us to rule ourselves effectively. That's something that's not happened before we as Americans became a country in our own right.
You know, we often think about what exactly is the role of government. And you talk to 10 people, you'll probably get 10 different versions of what they think the role of government is. You say the first role of government is to prevent harm. It's very simple. Talk about that.
If a person murders another, he has harmed them. We cannot afford harm to come to people. And so we determine that murder is illegal, and we must have the ability to prevent it. The Pope came out a while ago against the capital punishment. But the Bible makes it very clear that the role of government is to, the way it was worded is the sword was given to Caesar for a purpose, to prevent wrongdoing or to punish wrongdoing. And in order to do that, you have to know what wrongdoing is. And really, when we get down to it, that is anything that harms. If we harm someone, we have diminished their ability to be what God has created them to be. And the person who is a Christian is trying his best to be perfect, even though he knows he won't accomplish it. So he's beyond the fact he's not trying to harm anybody. But when somebody does harm someone else, he must be stopped, and the government must have the ability to stop it.
The book we're talking about is The Nature of Good Government, H. Doyle Smith. This will get you thinking as you read the book. You talk about the principles of the Ten Commandments apply to government, but differently. Talk about that, because a lot of what you address is using biblical principles in how we govern. Talk about the Ten Commandments, but maybe used a little differently in government than in religion.
Well, Paul says that all government is of God. So first of all, we must worship God and accept what he has created. And in this case, we must accept the government as being something that God has created. So our first rule, then, is that we must accept, respect, and obey the authorities that God has created. When the people don't do that, we have cases like the one in Cleveland where they refused to wait to pull over for a car, ended up chasing all the way through the city of Canton, or of Cleveland, and ended up having 137 shots fired, killing the people involved. They had no choice. The government had no choice but to enforce its rules. But too often, people are afraid of the police, or they fail to understand that it is important that we accept and respect government. On the second part of it, though, we must, in all cases, if we have authority, we must not abuse it. We don't need any more of these cases where somebody had a bad head, a front tag, as it happened in Cincinnati, and ends up getting shot by the policeman. This is not acceptable. We have another factor that is often comes up is that we shouldn't make images. Images are permanent things in a changing world. In other words, we need to be able to change as the world changes so that we are in the world as it is, not as it was when we were kids. Because the world that we had when we were kids doesn't exist anymore.
That's totally gone, isn't it? As much as we would like to go back there, we think we can't.
We can't. We have to be part of the world as it is. And if you are one of these people who's always talking about the past and not going forward, well, we end up not being able to be part of what's going on at this time. Then there's three rules that accept that are important. One is we have to take care of our children. The second is we have to take care of our health. And the third is we must keep the promises we make. Those three are, we call it adultery, but actually any promise that we don't keep creates a problem for everybody. And we take a Sabbath day to keep ourselves healthy. Well, everybody who is not healthy is a drain on everybody else. And for heaven's sakes, we need to have grown-up children who are part of the world and not entitled to whatever they think they want without having to contribute. Then there's three other parts first, that we shall not steal. Now, stealing is a problem because if the people in the tropics can go out and get something off the tree and nobody cares whether they do or not, they don't have an idea of what property is. And we have, but what we have is a situation where if something is useful and is needed, we need to not steal it. Thou shalt not kill. Well, kill is a big word for it, but we cannot be violent. We have bullies. We have those that are domestic violence. These are anything that causes people to be harmed. And, of course, most critically, if I say that something is happening, it should be something that's happening. I need to tell the truth. And, of course, there's one that really is hard to understand at first, but it's probably the most helpful of all. If you don't want what you can't have and what you don't have and can't get, you don't worry about the fact that you don't have it. So the idea of coveting someone else's property is really important for our own peace of mind. Now, all of these are covered by the Ten Commandments, so they're not worded just exactly that way.
Yes.
But we must, as individuals, obey those Ten Commandments, or we cannot rule ourselves.
The book is a fascinating read, very easy to read. It will get you thinking on each page. The book is The Nature of Good Government by H. Doyle Smith. The book is available at Amazon. You can link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to the Amazon link and get information on the book and order the book there as well. You talk about people are the most important part of government, not money. I want to talk about that for a second because it seems like maybe we think that's the case, but that really isn't the case. Money really dictates to how the country is run, doesn't it?
Well, that is true. Now, the thing is that by dealing with money, we fail to go look into the other side of the economics. Economics processes operate on a basis of a definition that says, if I can use something, it has value. If I can use it to accomplish an objective. And so the value lies in the objective and not in the resource. And when you do that, you find that money's not important as such. But we have to decide who has the resources to accomplish an objective. If you start to accomplish an objective and don't have the money to carry it through, well, the Lord said that that he who builds a tower and doesn't have money to finish it is a fool. And this is one of the things that makes people who have money as valuable as they are. But money is a responsibility, not a gift. If you have money, you have the responsibility to use it well for the good of everybody. And that's something that a lot of people do not understand.
In the book, you talk about mega economics. Explain what that is.
Well, I just went through the definition that is controlling that. We look at if you're in mega economics, you're looking at the economy as an organism. It takes in nutrition, it gets rid of waste, and it operates in the meantime. And the economy does that. We find that we have to acquire metals, for example, in order to make the things that are made out of metal. So there is a value in the labor of getting the metal out of the ground. It is the value of the resource based upon its ability to be used that matters, and not the money itself. This is hard for some people to realize, but economics is two parts, data and process.
Yes.
Data gives us an idea of what's happening in the economy right now, either in an overall economy or individual economy. But it is not the actual economy. It is a picture of the economy. I went to the top of a mountain one time. I was buying a piece of property, and I looked around, and I said, my heavens, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get all this property, and I'm going to be the biggest landholder around. And then the thought came to me, and this is an important one. What am I going to do with all that property?
Yes.
And that's the question people need to do when they go into a store. What am I going to use this item for? And if you can't use it, don't buy it.
You know, how many times you ask yourself that and then you walk away when you look at it rationally. And once you get over that allure of seeing the item for the first time, when you start putting in context, like you just said, with the land, suddenly it's not that important in your life and it's not practical in your life. H. Doyle Smith is our guest, the author of The Nature of Good Government. Time going by way too quickly, a couple minutes left in the program. You talk about the mathematical scissors. Explain what they are.
If you increase the cost of something or you decrease the value of something, you cut that thing out of the ability to make it be used. It acts as a scissors. The one blade is the cost, and the other blade is the value. And if the cost is greater than the value, then it has no value. It's been cut out of the economy. It's an easy way to look at the fact that we need to value what we have according to what it can do for us so that we do not end up spending all our money for things that we don't need.
You know, you don't just point out problems, areas in that conflict in our government and our philosophy of the government. You offer some conclusions. Talk a little bit about that, because it's a wide range of topics that you address with some common sense conclusions. Talk about coming up with these conclusions, because you lead us into the problem and then you've got solutions for us. I hope some people are paying attention. Some people in government are paying attention.
Well, the real problem is that we have chosen to try to be a great winner in the game of politics. And being a winner does nothing for the people as a whole. And this is where we need to understand that we have a responsibility as politicians to make our efforts do what the people need to do, have done, so that we can end up making life better by our efforts. I know of a politician whose main interest was in winning the election, but once he won the election, he didn't know what to do about it.
Yes, you see that often, where you can pretty well tell who that is when you see them, especially from your area, when they're elected. They really have no agenda, their real-life agenda. They're not sure exactly what they're going to do. It's like sort of looking at the land. I want that. Well, now I have it. Now what am I going to do with it? And that's sort of the same principle with some of the elected politicians. In the minute or so left in the program, you talk about this uncivil attitude that we have now in dealing with all of these issues that are with us every day. Talk about that, and do you see this tempering any or possibly getting worse?
I don't think it's getting worse. It's just a human nature that we can be uncivil, and too often what we're trying to do is lord it over someone else. Even Abraham Lincoln was called the original gorilla because he was such an effective politician that people just plain didn't like him while he was in office. Of course, when they got the chance to look at him after, they agreed with what he had done.
Yes.
But the big thing is we've got to understand that these people are doing the best they can. And we do not have to need to take them personally, tell them that they are terrible people just because they don't agree with what we want done.
Very important point. And I think if people practice that, we could have a more civil discourse as to what's going on in the country and the role of government in helping to solve some of these problems. It is a fascinating read. The book is The Nature of Good Government by H. Doyle Smith, as I mentioned in the beginning. The result of nearly 60 years of experience and contemplation. It's a well-thought-out book. It's got conclusions at the end of the book. The book, of course, available at Amazon. You can link on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go to that link. You'll get information on the book, the author of the book, and you can order it there as well. Doyle, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Good discussion. Thank you for coming on the program today.
And thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Once again, it's H. Doyle Smith, the author, the book, The Nature of Good Government. You'll find it available at Amazon. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can go directly to Amazon and get more information. Today's program continues right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.